Welcome to Soundprint. I'm Lisa Simeone. Most of us, I think it's safe to say, like to think of ourselves as masters of our own minds, as rational creatures who weigh our options before making decisions, who think about things before coming to conclusions. We do, after all, have brains, and we at least pretend to be proud of using them. But even the most rational person knows that sometimes the brain doesn't necessarily win out. Sometimes irrational thoughts creep in and influence us. And try as we might, we just can't quite get those irrational thoughts out of the way to let the brain do its work. So we come to conclusions that afterward appear illogical and ill-advised, or just downright confusing. How much of what we think is based on perception and how much on reality? And in terms of how we behave, is there really any difference? Producer Askia Muhammad explores those questions in today's program, which is about a town in Maryland called Laurel. The name of the program is The Changing Face of Neighborhood Crime.
Laurel, Maryland is just about as ordinary a seeming town as you can imagine any everyday all-American Main Street town to be. It's a town located between two big cities, Washington, D.C., and Baltimore, Maryland. Right where I'm standing, in fact, at the Laurel Shopping Center on U.S. Route 1, the old Baltimore-Washington Highway, might even be that exact equidistant spot. Just looking around me, the shopping center has a large parking lot. It has an El Salvadorian restaurant and a movie theater that shows Indian films, the best of Bollywood, at 7:30 every evening. This shopping center looked very different in 1972. It was mostly a white neighborhood then and was considered the perfect spot for a presidential campaign appearance. It was Monday, May 15th, shortly after 4 p.m. WTOP radio reporter Val Himes was on the scene, an eyewitness correspondent.
George Wallace has been shot. He's lying on the ground right in front of the podium. He was just getting ready to leave. He was shaking hands. They were shouting, "Come here, George. George, come please and shake our hand." I heard four shots ring out suddenly. Sounded like firecrackers. There's blood on the ground in front of me. Mrs. Wallace is leaning over.
George Corley Wallace was a potent symbol of racial antagonism and segregation during most of his political career. He once steadfastly stood in a schoolhouse door to block racial integration of Alabama schools.
George Wallace was conscious. I can't see him right now. He's surrounded by police, Secret Service. No one knows exactly how it happened. He was about 15 feet away from me when it happened.
In the U.S. presidential campaign in 1972, Alabama Governor Wallace was in Laurel trolling for votes. His attempted assassination has to rank as Laurel, Maryland's most spectacular crime in the 20th century. At that time, Sarah Pugh was a recent graduate of nearby University of Maryland. She was working for the Laurel News Leader.
Then my assignment to go out to cover Wallace, he was here at the Laurel Shopping Center, and I was there as the photographer, and you look around on all the tops of all the buildings, and there were sharpshooters everywhere.
After the assassinations of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. and Senator Robert Kennedy in 1968, security for public officials tightened significantly. Wallace was certainly a controversial figure, but on this day in Laurel, the crowd had been friendly.
It seemed to be. They're screaming. The crowd is upset. They're after a group of young black men.
In fact, Governor Wallace was shot by a white guy, Arthur Bremmer, from far away Wisconsin. The attempted assassination shocked the world. This was Laurel, small town America, a place where you wouldn't expect much crime to occur.
It was a destination for vacations, believe it or not. Along Lafayette Avenue, there used to be very large Victorian homes where people came in the summers to get out of the cities.
That was the way things looked on one side of town. Sandra Johnson grew up on the other side of town in the segregated African-American neighborhood near Main Street called Laurel Grove. She was away at college the day Wallace was shot. She was surprised by the incident because her memories of old Laurel are not of a place that was a hotbed of crime or of racial dissent.
It was just not Laurel where segregation occurred. I mean, it was just part of the time in which we were living. I didn't perceive Laurel to be crime-ridden neighborhood because it was safe to just, I lived on 10th Street to walk down here to 8th Street and walk back home, and never any fear about crime or any bad things happening to you, really. Because everyone knew everyone. Everyone knew everyone's family. So, you know, it wasn't a bad place to grow up.
Less than three decades after the attempted assassination of Wallace, Laurel figured once again in the American crime of the young 21st century, the September 11, 2001 attacks. Here in the Valencia Motel on Route 1, not far from the Laurel Park racetrack, in a tiny but seedy part of town that takes its name from a road called Whiskey Bottom. 9/11 conspirators inconspicuously rented a room here before they launched their attack. Modern Laurel has a number of distinct areas, a shopping mall with an ethnic mix, a historic black community, old Victorian homes, a red light district. Laurel is one of those places where crime is perceived by where you sit. The town and its surrounding neighborhoods border four counties. Only one, however, figures heavily into the conversation about Laurel and crime. The changing perception about crime has almost everything to do with the changing racial and demographic profile of Prince George's County. Prince George's is the county where, despite the fact that statistically some of the wealthiest and best educated African Americans in the United States happen to reside, it is also a place where crime, spilling over from Washington, D.C., the so-called Chocolate City, is on the march toward the suburbs and the exurbs, and citizens there just don't feel safe anymore. Sandra Johnson.
I know a lot of people have moved from D.C., trying to escape D.C. and moving to Prince George's County. The values, the morals were so different when I grew up here as to probably what they are now.
Different having, there was more character.
Right, more character. People weren't afraid of young people where they are now. It's different. I've heard people say that, you know, that they are afraid to approach young people. And if they see them, you know, like standing on a corner or something like that, they're afraid to really approach them because times are different. And the type of respect that kids had when I was growing up just isn't the same.
So the view from the historic black district is that young people with different values are causing problems and making older residents afraid. In late 2005, police found the body of a 25-year-old in an apartment on Briarwood Drive in the Prince George's County section of Laurel. Investigators who had no possible suspects or a motive investigated his death as a homicide. That's the kind of crime that has frightened some Laurel residents in New Laurel.
You're welcome to come to the podium here. Please state your name and maybe where you live.
At a forum held recently to discuss crime, the county's chief prosecutor, Laurel's police chief, and other officials concerned with public safety listened to sometimes tearful complaints about crime from a crowd of mostly black residents.
My name is Leslie, and I live in Briarwood Apartments. And recently, they sent out flyers saying that, you know, people were getting robbed going into their apartments and stuff. And since I moved here, and I can't even have packages delivered to my apartment because people go through your mail. You come home, and I find my stuff torn into, and it's like people have no respect for even packages coming to your house. And they sent out notices saying that people were getting robbed going into their apartment.
The crime forum has drawn a big crowd. Leslie is a new resident to Laurel.
I mean, it's a nice, quiet neighborhood. It seems friendly, so I had no expectation that, you know, people would just, you know, open your mail or that you couldn't have stuff left at your door, you know, or that you'd hear about people being robbed just trying to get home. You know, it's really scary.
Are you afraid?
Well, yeah, it's kind of unnerving, but I try to just watch what I do, you know, and not be careless and just be mindful of my surroundings, you know.
That's where Leslie sits. Like many of Laurel's non-white residents, she lives in moderately priced apartments where she doesn't feel safe. Sarah Pugh, on the other hand, has a long historical view. She was a newspaper photographer and sports editor in Laurel during the 1970s. She is now a business owner here. According to Pew, the way crime is perceived often has racial overtones.
There is a thought that that is mainly African American and that it's heavily crime-oriented. The general public has thought that the influx of crime from Washington, which is primarily African American in terms of people who live there, that that is what has driven the crime in Prince George's County.
Crime is a big enough deal in the area that it's become a political issue.
Thank you very much. It's a pleasure to be here tonight.
Barbara Fresh is a member of the Maryland State Legislature. She also attended the County Crime Forum.
And I'd like to make some comments about what's going on here in the county. To my way of thinking, Prince George's County is number one. It's number one in rapes. It's number one in carjackings. It's number one in auto thefts. We just surpassed our all-time record in murders. Our people are afraid.
So the problem of crime is not a perception problem.
It's a real problem. It's a real problem. It's not perception. It's real. They don't call us Gorgeous Prince George's anymore. In the paper, they were quoted as saying it's Gory Prince George's. I mean, we've got to be appalled with the number of murders in our county.
Let me ask you, just to be honest, how much does race figure into the perception of crime and its escalation?
I don't think it enters at all. I've grown up. I've been in Prince George's County 56 years. I love this county. I live in an integrated neighborhood. Some of my closest friends are African Americans. Nothing to do with it. I just feel that this is a system that's broken. And I think if somebody doesn't do a good job, then they need to be replaced. That's all.
Laurel is in the eye of the beholder. So if you're a politician, then you look to change the system in order to impact crime. Historic old Laurel, on the other hand, plays host to gatherings of a different sort. The neighborhood includes a number of early 20th century and even some Civil War era homes.
Yeah. Originally, when you go in the kitchen, it's a long kitchen, and it was originally part kitchen and part maid's quarters. They had a maid.
They host historic home tours among neighbors, showcasing the rich history and restoration of their homes.
So you'll see we have doorbells throughout the house where they would ring for the maids, and in the dining room in the middle of the floor there was one, so if they were at the table they could just press on it with their foot, but nobody comes anymore.
Cheryl Dyer is a longtime resident of Laurel, 27 years. She owns a house on the Main Street Old Laurel side of town, an area of town that's always been home mostly to whites.
Laurel's wonderful. It's got the best of everything. You can walk to everything that you need. There's a great assortment of people. That's one of the things that I love about it. There's not just one kind of folks. And I know somebody on every single block. It's safe.
So the cupboard in the dining room was actually from, there was a big mansion on Route 1 where Frank's Craft and Nursery was. It's now CVS.
Traffic's gotten a lot worse. I know Prince George's County has a bad reputation, but Laurel's uniquely situated. We're up in the very tippy top, so we don't have a lot of the problems that other parts of the county have. But I've never felt unsafe. Could be because I have a big dog when I walk. But I think it's mostly because we know our neighbors and our neighbors know us. People are always outside, and I think that's what gives a feeling of safety.
Our next stop is going to be on Laurel Avenue. We're going to go down Montgomery Street to 5th Street.
So the folks in Laurel who have known all their neighbors for years in the Main Street corridor feel quite safe here. The police headquarters are at the other end of Main Street. Laurel's police chief is David Moore, an African American with a long career in law enforcement.
I believe, generally speaking, Laurel, for a city this size, is a very, very safe community. It's a community that you can still walk down Main Street in the evening and feel relatively safe.
Chief Moore quotes numbers and cites statistics to prove that Laurel's safe. But numbers don't always have the power to change people's perceptions about crime.
perception really does play a role. If you perceive something's happening in your neighborhood, then it's real for you. You will be more apprehensive to go out in the evening if you feel that your neighborhood's not safe, even though I can show by our stats that crime is down. However, if you have even one homicide in Laurel, that becomes an issue where you could have potentially been the victim, that one homicide.
Today, Laurel is hardly a black community pitted against an unyielding white community. Laurel has a new minority population that includes faces from around the world, including a number of Muslims and South Asians. But the largest growing minority group in Laurel is now Hispanic. Hortensia and Martin Rios are both from Lima, Peru.
I prefer this city because I had everything here. Just walking, restaurants, supermarkets, laundries, shops for my car, banks, whatever you need, you have here in Laurel.
And also the transportation. We are near to the metro station, to the train station, and the buses, they go all the way. So, and most of the Hispanic people, they don't have cars or they don't have driver's license. So then they have to use the public transportation. So it's good, very convenient.
And if you are somebody to want to do a business here, you have to speak English, of course, but now you have to speak Spanish too.
Remember, the Hispanic people, they are hard workers, and they work hard, but they like to spend money also. They really spend money, and they are really good customers. So I feel that we receive a good customer service when they have a bilingual people.
Do you feel safe?
Well, yes. So we feel that our police department do a very good job in this area. Of course, it's not a perfect area like no other area is now, but we feel safe. We don't have more problems. I don't remember a problem in this street in the last 4 years. Yeah, so that's good. That's good enough for us.
From where the Rios sit, they feel at home in Laurel. Laurel's police chief Moore.
There's an emerging gang problem.
Police and politicians have begun warning residents that the violent Latino gangs, which have shocked residents in neighboring towns, have begun moving into Laurel as well.
Now, having said that, we're not seeing a lot of activity with gangs here in Laurel. But I'm not Pollyanna. I know that they are here. They're coming. I'm preparing our people.
And we don't have the systems in place, whether they're social safety systems, service systems, the like.
Back at the crime forum, the topic of gangs was added to the laundry list of dangers that everyone is worried about. The chief prosecutor for the county, Glenn Ivey, an African-American, sees the highly publicized Latino gang called MS-13 as an imminent concern.
When we had the Latino population come in big numbers, and they're welcome as far as I'm concerned, what I don't like was MS-13 and some of the gangs that came with them. Because they're different than the crews and posses that I prosecuted when I was in D.C. African-American crews and posses are different than some of these Latino gangs, and I didn't know the distinctions. I was on a call-in show one night.
Martin and Hortensia Rios don't consider gangs a real problem at all.
We had the opportunity several times to talk with our authorities about the gang concerns, and we believe the gang in Laurel is just only a concern, but it's not a problem. Just a concern, because we understand we have several places very near to Laurel that they have the gang activity as a real problem. But it's not here. It's not in Laurel.
Why do gangs follow the Hispanic population?
Well, we have to understand our culture in our communities living here in this country. Sometimes our families came here and they don't speak like me, a perfect English. But they have to work very hard in order to start to build the American dream. And sometimes we have homes with father and mother work, have to two or three full times, or two full times and one part-time job.
and they don't have time, enough time, in order to take care of children in the home. Things like that is an open door in order to develop gangs activity.
But truth be told, fear of crime is not an equal opportunity predator. Sarah Pugh's office is located on the edge of the Laurel Golf Course and Country Club.
Particularly in this area where we are right now, all these apartments, that most of the renters are Hispanics, Latinos, who work here and live here. I'm talking thousands of them. And yet there still is not the same perception of crime in that population as there is with the African-American population.
Crime, she believes, may be something that's part of some people and not easy to change.
I used to think that I could help make people who were had bad tendencies. I thought I could cure them all, you know, and I was going to make it. I was going to go down and, you know, bring all the street people home, and I was going to feed them, and I was going to, you know, give them jobs and help them understand. And you can't do that. You can't change the roots that quickly. The cells that we're made up of go way back further than we even know about.
Laurel Police Chief David Moore, an African American, agrees that some people are more inclined to commit crime.
Yeah, I don't know so much about being in your genes, but your inner fiber, your just who you are and how you were raised. But I really do believe that in some way, kids are going to go wrong, many of them that I grew up with went wrong in that direction. It appeared that they always had their environment, something that maybe drove them to the wrong direction. And I really believe if you want to do good in society, you're going to do good. And if you have a propensity to do bad, you probably do that too. So I believe that. I really do.
Or maybe, depending on where you sit, crime is the consequence of making bad personal decisions. Danzy Seward III is just 23 years old. He made a bad decision which cost him dearly.
It doesn't take but a minute to make a bad decision, you know. As I got older, I managed to get in some pretty good situations, like going to school. That was one of my greatest achievements in life. But coming back from school, things didn't kind of work out the way I planned. I came back, I had a degree, and I thought it was going to be just jobs waiting for me. That wasn't the case, and when you get out of school, you have a lot of school loans and other financial debts that you have. So, you know, I think all crime kind of stems from the lack of money. So I was put in a financial hardship. Doesn't make an excuse, but that was my situation. I was convicted for armed robbery and did a year.
Finding a job and developing a stable lifestyle once you've been convicted of a felony, even with a college degree, is really tough.
A very important part about saving our community is coming up with some type of reentry program for people that have been incarcerated. So when they come out, they're given a hand, you know. Not that people will give them a hand out, but just they're given assistance, you know, so the transition won't be as rough. You know, a lot of people, they just feel stuck and they feel trapped. They feel like they have no other way out but to, you know, sell drugs or rob people or do whatever they feel like they need to do to get money.
Danzy's reentry was made easier by his church in Laurel, the Tabernacle Church, where he has found the support he needs and employment. He is the director of the Homework Club and the director of the media department. So, what is the reality of the crime situation in Laurel? Who is to blame? And what is real and what is perception? The fact is that Prince George's County hit a record high number of homicides this year, although not in the Laurel area. Most years, you can usually total the number of rapes and murders combined on the fingers of one hand. The town averages about one robbery per week and about three burglaries per week. So what are the major concerns? Laurel Police Chief Moore has a bigger problem. Route 1, after all, is where the Wallace assassination attempt took place in 1972 and where the 9/11 conspirators bunked in 2001.
But the issues that we work on that are always a challenge, it's traffic, traffic, and traffic. Route 1 today is bumper to bumper. It's a major thoroughfare, and many people take the opportunity to travel down Route 1. So we're building a traffic intersection safety team, for one thing, just to try and combat that. So, in fact, one of my personal goals this year is to minimize intersection accidents by 15% over the previous year.
And auto thefts are off the chart, making Laurel's crime index skyrocket.
I'm looking at just this week's statistics. We've had, year-to-date, 263 stolen cars in our city.
263 stolen cars in the city of Laurel in 2005?
That's no joke. We really do lead the state. And I can tell you that we are, our county is in the top 10 in the country of stolen cars. It's an issue.
How do you explain it? By some accounts, Laurel is a reasonably safe place to live. But most folks in Prince George's County are very concerned about crime in their county. So now, in the case of Laurel, it's hard to tell. Who is looking through the pane at real crime, and who is watching a reflection, a changing face, a perception of crime?
The Changing Face of Neighborhood Crime was produced by Askia Muhammad with field producer Katie Gott. The show was mixed by Jared Weisbrot. Special thanks to Val Himes and to WTOP Radio for the featured archival tape. This program originally aired as part of the special international collaboration, Global Perspectives on Crime. The rest of that series is available on our website, soundprint.org. You can visit us there anytime you'd like, in addition to the listening links for our weekly program and all of our archived past programs. Check out our resource links and other special series. That address again is soundprint.org. Soundprint is produced by the Soundprint Media Center in association with WAMU and American University. Did you enjoy today's episode? Tell us what you're thinking and where you're listening from. Drop us a line via our email address, talkback@soundprint.org. Soundprint CDs can be purchased for most of our episodes for a small fee. Just give us a call at 1-888-38-TAPES. That number again is 1-888-38-TAPES. Or you can order online at soundprint.org. Soundprint is production assistants Nkechi Mogekwu and Becca Newell, and audio engineer Jared Weisbrot. Our executive producer is Moira Rankin. I'm Lisa Simeone.